Blog Talk Radio.
From deepest, darkest Africa, across the polar ice cap, spanning the jungles of South America, without a compass, without a map, Blog Talk Radio and Wildlife Educational Services presents Larry Batson's Wild World. Discover the wonders of the natural world with nationally known wildlife educator Larry Batson as we visit his wild world.
Well, hello everyone from the remote jungles of Clinton Falls, Indiana. This is Larry Batson, and you are listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on this magical network we call Blog Talk Radio as we reach listeners around the world in our new season. Has already had a record-setting pace of listeners, and we really appreciate it. We've got a great show tonight. As always, handling the technical responsibilities, Wayne Larson, our studio producer, Melissa Hovey. Music done by Scott Carney, and our guest tonight, we're very excited, all the way from Canada, Lori Biagini, a musical artist that has a brand new sound, or I should say CD, Sanctuary of Sound coming out, and it's very exciting. We're going to be playing much of it here tonight. And as always, from the Wild World News Desk, the always educational, informative, and somewhat entertaining, Dr. Henry Day. Good evening, Doctor.
You're going to make me cry.
I'm like Oprah. Barbara Walters. I try to do that. I don't.
How's everything there at the Wildlife Preserve?
Well, here at the compound, we've had an exciting 3 days of moving gravel into all of our new tiger enclosures. So that's been quite a bit of fun. Lots of ibuprofen for the back and for this old man, but sure looks fantastic here. We look forward to a summer season. We'll have visitors and open houses, and I'll be doing some nature classes here at the compound and teaching the youngsters all about the wild world they live in. So we're very excited about this summer.
Well, sign me up.
You are signed up.
Yeah, I forgot.
As always, our first half of our program is underwritten by We Want You Cottages, Maysville, New York, on Chautauqua Lake. Peter and Kathy Weimer have a fantastic resort. If you like to go fishing, Western New York's the place to go. The muskie season will be starting soon. I take that back. I believe it's already started. Walleye, smallmouth bass, perch, and plus the hosts have these fantastic cabins. We had the opportunity to stay there for the New York Bigfoot Expo at Chautauqua Lake about a month and a half ago, and we had a great time. So we thoroughly encourage you to enjoy the hospitality of Peter Weimer and his wife Kathy in the We Want You Cottages. Go to their website, wewantyou.com. They make it possible for Larry Batson's Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio.
It's now time from his broadcasting mecca in Indianapolis, Indiana, the distinguished Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News.
Good evening. This is Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News for May 30th. Well, it's 78 degrees here in Indianapolis. Yeah.
Yes, it is. Beautiful weather.
Yes, it is. All right, now I've got some alarming news for amphibian lovers.
Should I be sitting down?
Yes.
Okay.
Because we are amphibian lovers.
Yes, we are.
Now, a new study has determined for the first time just how quickly frogs and other amphibians are disappearing around the United States. The U.S. Geological Survey says populations of frogs, salamanders, and toads have been vanishing from occupied sites at a rate of 3.7% a year.
Oh, man.
Now, that puts them on a path to disappearing from half of the occupied sites nationwide in 20 years.
You know, they're kind of the barometer of how our ecosystem is doing, and that makes us wonder. The quality of water, very important for those particular amphibians to propagate, and it's sad. I hate that.
It is. It's very sad. We need to think about it, and we need to work on it.
Yes, we do.
Because that's a very important thing.
Yes.
Everything, you know, is here for a reason.
That's right.
All right, can you imagine being 6 foot tall at birth?
Well, if you're a giraffe, it wouldn't be too bad.
Well, there you go. New Brownsville, Texas, officials with the National Bridge Wildlife Ranch say two giraffes have been born, marking just the second time since such a birth has occurred in the USA. Now, the female calf, Wasa, was born on May 10th and followed by her brother, Nakotu.
Same day?
Same day, yes.
Wow.
And the reason why it's taken so long for wildlife officials to announce the birth is, you know, they like to wait for a few weeks to make sure everything's okay with the babies. And
well, yes, to make sure they survive, because like any animal, that is a very difficult part of their life, the starting of their life. So
that's right. Well, they're doing fine.
Great.
All right, are you ready to be grossed out?
Yes, I'm ready. Hold on.
All right, well, Hamilton, Montana. Staff with the Rocky Mountain Laboratory are collecting wood ticks to study the relationship of the Colorado tick fever in the Bitterfoot Valley. So they're collecting ticks. Now the scientists freeze the ticks, smash them into paste, and then search through the paste for the molecular structure of the virus that causes the Colorado tick fever in humans.
Well, somebody's got to do it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'd be a great job.
Just think of all those years of education, those doctors and scientists.
Yep.
Which it all boils down to one day they're going to be smashing ticks.
You got a mortar and a pestle and you're smashing ticks.
Yeah.
All right, now you've got quite a collection of wildlife there at the Batson Wildlife Preserve. Now listen to this collection, Athens, Georgia. The University of Georgia's Museum of Natural History is receiving 40,000 animal specimens that will nearly triple its mammal collection.
But they're all stuffed, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Oh, okay.
Now, the collection is coming from the Northeastern University in Boston, where scientists and administrators wanted to make more room for other projects.
So they just stuffed them off on those people.
Yeah.
Oh,
40,000 mammal specimens.
That's a lot.
That's a lot, yeah.
Goodness,
that's a lot of animals.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's an educational thing. That's why we have museums. And
oh, well, have you ever seen the Field Museum in Chicago?
No, I haven't.
Oh, they got some amazing taxidermy work there. In fact, they have the Tsavo lions that were responsible for killing several people while they're trying to put that railroad through in Africa. And it was the movie, which I can't think of the name of it offhand, that Val Kilmer was in. But they have those on exhibit, and they do them quite well. But I tell you, there's nothing more annoying and disgusting than a piece of taxidermy work that is done poorly. I mean, it just completely degrades the animal.
I agree.
And you know, John Audubon, the illustrations in his great book that sold for, what, $1.2 million recently?
Right.
All of the drawings were from dead birds.
That's right. He was a hunter.
Yeah.
He'd go out and get a specimen, bring it back in, and mount it in a natural position.
And then he would draw it, right.
It's beautiful work.
Yes, he did.
All right, now, you're a fan of elk.
Yes.
Vincent, Virginia. This has been going on for a while. The Department of Game and Inland Fisheries has released a second group of elk under a program aimed at returning the animals to the state.
Well.
So if you see an elk out in your backyard, it's supposed to be there.
It's not a big deer.
Now, last week, I asked you if you'd ever ridden an elevator with a fish.
I rode one with a bear once. Does that count?
Just about the same way. I'm sure you've ridden elevators with just about everything.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, Memphis, Tennessee, the Peabody is celebrating its 80th year of twice-a-day duck march. Now, you remember the ducks at the Peabody, don't you?
Yes.
Now, the ducks were moved into the hotel in 1933 when the manager and his friends returned from a hunting trip drunk and put the live English ducks in the fountain.
Oh.
Now, the marches started in 1940 when a former circus trainer and duck master, Edward Tim Pembroke, offered to train the ducks.
Well, good for him.
And every morning the ducks come down, get in the fountain, play all day, and then at night they're escorted back up.
I think I remember that, yes.
I think we reported on that a couple of years ago.
Right.
All right, now in the local news.
Oh, by the way, I have ridden an elevator with a baby camel with diarrhea. Did I tell you about that one?
Oh, yeah, that's a good story.
We won't go any further than that.
Yeah.
It's for a television show.
All right, for the local news, we're going to head downtown to Indianapolis.
Oh.
All right, now on, on Tuesday this week, the Peregrine Falcons, we had a new set of Falcons born this year. They got fitted for their life in the wild. On Tuesday, the Peregrine Falcon fans were back at the Market Tower building to witness the banding of the four new baby Peregrine Falcons. Now, this is becoming, every year people line up with their cameras and big smiles to see the baby Falcons get their bands.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, now, there are four of them. Dox is a male, Luca and Bailey are females, and Edge, they haven't quite determined what his gender is yet.
Well, that's fantastic news.
Now, the banding, it allows the scientists to track their survival and their movements once they leave the nest. And if you'd like to watch these little fellas for the next few weeks, you can go to indystar.com/falconcam and watch the babies grow up.
Well, that's very cool. You know, the National Conservation Training Center in Shepherdstown, West Virginia, has an eagle cam, and you can watch the eaglets grow up. So that's a good idea.
It is. And, you know, it teaches people that there's a lot of work in raising kids.
That's right.
All right. Ringo's got a new book out.
I heard it was photographed.
That's right. Never-before-seen photos of the Beatles by Ringo Starr will be included in his new book titled Photograph. An e-book will be published June 12th in conjunction with the upcoming Grammy Museum exhibit, Ringo, Love and Peace, in Los Angeles.
We love Ringo. Who could not love Ringo?
Yeah, you got to like Ringo.
Man, he's had a fantastic career after the Beatles. You know, he had more hits after the Beatles broke up than the others.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. He did. That's my amazing fact for the day.
Okay, well, you want some more amazing facts as we close out the Wild World News?
I do.
All right, well, last week we had the fastest insect. This week we're going for the fastest bird.
That would be the Peregrine Falcon.
Close. It's the pine-tailed swift.
Oh, swift.
Which can fly as fast as 106 miles an hour.
Wow.
But the peregrine's not too far from that. All right. Camels have three eyelids to protect themselves from blowing sand.
Mm-hmm. That's it? No, we knew that.
Yeah, we knew
well,
that.
Well, thank you.
We were sharing that with everybody else.
Oh, no. I see.
All right, the final fact of the day is, now listen to this. This is a pretty interesting thing. The crosshairs of gun sights were made of spider web filaments until the 1960s.
Really? What do they make them out of now?
Oh, I'm sure they've got fiber optics and all that good stuff. But thank you, spiders.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, well, that's the Wild World News for May 30th.
Well, once again, a fabulous job done by Dr. Henry Day and his staff at the Wild World News headquarters and newsroom in Indianapolis, Indiana. If you ever have a chance to go to Indy, you might want to check out. You do have tours, don't you, Dr. Day?
That is correct.
And you can go for a tour of the fantastic facilities, the Wild World News in Indianapolis, Indiana. We also want to tell everyone, and we encourage you to visit my website, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com. It tells all about the different work that we do, rescuing wild animals or wildlife education programs. We have a second printing of our second book, Alphabet Swamp, which is now available for just $10. Go to the website. Every copy is autographed, and any donation goes to the animals that we rescue so we can continue our work that we've done for the last, almost 40 years. And this all makes it possible for Larry Batson's Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio. Good friend from Canada, we welcome to the program quite the songstress and writer, Lori Biagini. Good evening, Lori.
Hi.
Well, it's great to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me. It's like it's really nice to be on here.
We have fun, don't we?
Yes, we do.
And plus, it's educational.
Oh, yeah. I enjoyed the animal news at the beginning.
Well, you've got quite the CD. I have to confess, it's been in my truck for the last couple of weeks, and I've had a chance to thoroughly enjoy it. And as I've always said, and I hope this is a compliment, I feel like I've gone back to the 60s with some of the fantastic music that you have put on this CD. And I can hear many of your influences. But why don't you tell our listeners around the world what artists have influenced Lori Biagini?
Well, I've always been really fond of the music that happened just before and just after I was born, in the mid-60s. So pretty much I would say at the top of the list are the Beach Boys, the Mamas and the Papas, the Turtles, the Byrds, Jan and Dean. Those are the main ones. And then, of course, the Monkees.
I hear Leslie Gore in that vocal, too.
Leslie Gore, yeah, she's fantastic. Oh, and the Beatles, did I say the Beatles yet? If I didn't, I apologize. Right, up at the top there, too.
And of course, we've enjoyed groups like the Searchers and...
Oh, yes.
And you would do great on a couple of their songs, I'm telling you. I mean...
I agree.
The flavor of the music, it just makes you want to pour pina coladas and get in a Hawaiian shirt and just have a good time, because that music is just fantastic. I just really enjoy every CD I've ever listened to that you've produced. And tell us what goes into the production, from the songwriting to on to the final recording.
Well, it's an interesting process because the songs just sort of come to me. Sometimes they come from a dream. I wake up in the morning and I hear a song in my head, so I quickly have to capture it, otherwise it will fade, just like a dream does. Other times, you know, I could be riding to work and I hear a melody in my mind, so I just try to write down what I can on a piece of paper, and I have a little notebook I carry around with me, and the melodies almost always come first. On rare occasions, I get the melody and the words at the same time, but most of the time it's the melodies and the chord progressions. And then I just I come down to my studio and I just start recording, you know, what I'm hearing in my head. I'm playing on the piano, get a sketch file started, and from there I start refining and get the piano track, the drums, the bass and a guitar, rhythm guitar. It starts from there, and then I start adding layers. And what you hear at the end is all those layers.
Oh, it's beautiful. Well, you're quite the pianist. You know, I play the piano myself, so I admire the work that you've done, your recordings, because the piano is truly a rhythm instrument. That's what a lot of people don't realize.
Mm-hmm.
As
oh,
far
yes.
As the, I think Billy Joel was one of the first ones to bring that to the forefront. That I've always thought the piano alone is a symphony in its own sound that comes out.
Oh, it could be, yeah. I mean, you can. There's so much you can do on it. I mean, you can just play chording, or you can play like a cool bass line with your left hand, and ornamental stuff with your right hand, and then you can get real fancy and do those glissandos like Jerry Lee Lewis does, and you could have a lot of fun with it. I mean, when I was a kid and I was working out stress, I would play a boogie woogie really loud, and I just pound the crap out of that. Oh, sorry. Pound the keyboard
okay.
as hard as I could. And that was a great stress reliever. So from years of playing boogie woogies, I got pretty good at it. And so it's you know, pretty natural to me to play by ear and sound things out with what I hear in my head.
Sure. Well, you know, listen to the old recordings of Jerry Lewis and Mickey Gilley and the guy who did Behind Closed Doors. I can't think of his name.
Charlie Rich.
Charlie Rich, thank you very much.
Yeah.
it's just amazing. And I think the piano, as far as writing music, you can get the most well-rounded music, I think, is written on the piano.
Oh, okay. Well, that's my main instrument. So, you know, everything else is a second language to me. I know how to play guitar now, but I can't say I'm great at it, but I have played... I have some of my Fender Stratocaster on the tracks on the album, and I even played lead in, I think, one of them. I think I played a lead in the middle.
Well, yeah. the Fender Stratocaster, boy, you talk about a historical instrument, and the amount of recordings that have been produced for that instrument is just phenomenal. And I think leading off the whole pack would be the late, great Jimi Hendrix, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I'm not hearing any of that in your music, that's for sure.
No, mine's more sunshiny stuff.
It makes you feel good. I mean, Dr. Day, it makes you want to have a drink.
Yep, it usually puts me on the beach.
Yeah, it puts you
right
on the beach, which is great, and it just makes you feel happy. I mean, there's nothing depressing at all about a Lori Biagini record because it's all just so upbeat. And, you know, that's what the music industry needs now. There's more music like what she produces. I'm not saying copy her because she has such a distinctive sound. And I don't want anybody to get me wrong on that, but she's just amazing, some of the cuts. Here's something else. We're going to play the heck out of this CD, if you don't mind tonight, Lori.
Oh, wonderful.
From her new CD, which I assume is available on your website?
Yeah, if you go to the website, www.loribiagini.com, I have all sorts of options for how you can purchase it, either physically or digitally. And, all the information's there.
You need to buy the whole CD, folks. You need to see the cover, just like the old days, and read all the information inside. That's so important. It makes me miss the albums, but that's how you need to buy it. Here's something new from Symphony of Sound, Lori Biagini on Blog Talk Radio.
Little monkey, you're as cute as a monkey could be.
Talk about a sound. I'm hearing a Vox supercontinental organ. Is that what you're playing?
No, actually, I'm playing my Roland keyboard that has some really super sounds in it, and I just choose the ones that sound as authentic as possible to what his music had.
Wow, very impressive, because that does. That sounds just like you. You remember that instrument, Lori?
Not really. No.
Well,
but I mean, I've seen pictures of it, and
well, you know,
yeah, I don't. My knowledge of old keyboards is kind of limited.
Well, I will tell you now, probably one of the foremost players of that instrument was from the '60s, Mike Smith from the Dave Clark Five.
Oh wow!
You remember Dave Clark Five?
Oh yes.
Oh my! Of course. They're like the Beatles. Half of them are gone now, which is too bad. But, yes, a very distinctive sound, which gives it the sound of like we were accustomed to listening to in the 60s. As you mentioned earlier, the Turtles, the Beach Boys, of course, the Beatles, the Searchers. I think even the Seeds were in that group not too far after that.
Yeah.
And a lot of phenomenal bands, and you did a masterful job of capturing them. What's on your iPod? What do you like to listen to?
Well, those bands you just mentioned.
Well.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm discovering a lot of album cuts from these bands that I had never heard before. So it's like finding buried treasure. And every day at lunch hour at work, I go onto YouTube and I search for what I call the groovy song pick of the day, and then I share it with people on my Facebook friends.
Right.
And now I share it on Twitter too now. And so if I find some obscure 60s song, but you know, that I think sounds really super cool, I'll put it on there. And so I'm discovering a lot of this stuff for the first time, because you know, there's the hits that you hear, you know, this went to number one for this group, but you don't hear a lot of the other music. And so I'm trying to catch up, I guess, and get to hear a lot of those hidden gems.
Yeah, well, that will take a while, because you're right. Most of the artists, they put out an album, there'd only be about two hits, and the rest they would used to call filler, which turned out to be really phenomenal songs that somebody in a suit decided wasn't suitable for releasing as a single. I think one of the foremost songs that I can think of right off the top of my head that was not released as a single, and that was a big mistake, was the Byrds recording of I Feel a Whole Lot Better.
Oh, my God. That's like one of my top five favorite songs of all time.
Oh.
Gene Clark, oh, my God, he's my hero.
Well, I can remember there used to be a club called the Columbia Record Club, and you could join it for so much money, and they'd send you like a dozen albums, your first shipment. And I can remember one of the albums that I got when I did this was the Byrds' Mr. Tambourine Man, the album. And that was the second cut. And I'm thinking, my gosh, this song is incredible. And it was never released as a single. Tom Petty would later do a cover of it. But it was just a fantastic song. And it's like you said, these songs have been undiscovered. Just, forgotten. Do you remember that song, Dr. Day?
Yeah. My first two albums from the Columbia Club, I was a member too.
Oh, you
were? Were the first two Monkey albums.
Did you send them the wrong address so that your neighbor would get the bill too?
That's right, I did.
Yeah.
Never had to pay for them.
Yes, that was an old trick back in those days. But,
yep.
Would that fall under the 7-year rule? I guess it would have been coming all along.
Yeah, I think it would, yeah.
Yeah. Our guest tonight, Lori Biagini. We've got lots of great tracks to play from her brand-new album, Symphony of Sound. We're going to take a short break, And folks, you are listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on this magical network and a magical night on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the forest, near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
Yeah, one second, I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Here's a hot topic about our wildlands and living with the natural role of fire.
Yard work is not just a matter of pride when you live in the wildland-urban interface. It's also about survival. Here are some FireWise tips that can help protect your home from wildland fire. Prune your trees 6 to 10 feet above the ground. Remove dead leaves and branches and dispose of them before fire season. Water your lawn regularly and store firewood away from the house. Be prepared for a fire emergency by having a plan for your family and pets. Learn more at our website, and then sit back and enjoy. You worked for it.
This hot topic was made possible by the Teresa and H. John Hines III Foundation. Learn more about the natural role of fire, how to protect your community, and get the latest fire information. Visit the National Interagency Fire Center website at NIFC.gov. That's NIFC.gov.
Welcome back to Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, here's your host, Larry Batson.
We're going to be back with Laurie Biagini, a fantastic Canadian musical artist, singer here in just a few moments. We want to remind everyone, go to my website, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com, and it tells how you can help contribute to our wildlife education work that we do, also our wildlife rescue. Also making it possible for us to be on the night this half hour, is McGregor Mountain Lodge in beautiful Estes Park, Colorado. We call it God's country, everybody. And if you've never been out west, if you've never planned a vacation in Colorado, let me highly recommend that you go to the fantastic little village called Estes Park. Lots of great shopping for the men and ladies. I shouldn't just say ladies, because I was reading Steve Tyler's book that he recently purchased the moccasins, a pair of moccasins from a shop there in Estes Park that does all his recording in, so that was pretty cool. But the McGregor Mountain Lodge is right on the boundaries of Rocky Mountain National Park. You may have bighorn sheep in your backyard, elk. Fantastic scenery. It's awesome. It's inspiring. And go to their website, www.mcgregormountainlodge.com. I assure you, if you decide to vacation there, you will not be disappointed. They make it possible for Larry Batson's Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio.
Somebody they try to pull you under.
and I'm humming these tunes as I'm doing work. My wife says, "Have you got a song stuck in your head?" And I said, "I have several."
Oh, wow. Thank you.
Glory be a genie music. And I was like, whatever task I had, I think I've picked up a new selection. It was they're catchy. They've got hooks, and they're just fantastic. And I think you're going to go a long way with this career because there's nobody that sounds like you, which is the greatest feat of all.
Great team. Competition. Ha-ha.
That's the key. I mean, they could play me 100 records. I go, that's a Lori B. Agenie record. I know that one is. So, just amazing. Dr. Day, do you have a favorite cut from your CD that you stole from me?
Oh,
I'm expecting that back, by the way.
You'll have to find it. it's hard to say. A far out place. I really like that. I'll be back again.
Yeah.
One of my favorites. And what is it? Another old Lazy Lion on the Beach Afternoon.
Oh.
Isn't that the
truth? That's wonderful.
Man alive. Yes, I can. Do you remember? Well, of course, I'm asking you this and you don't because it's before your time, but a lot of the groups came out with movies. Like Dave Clark 5 had a movie called Have a Wild Weekend, which was basically, you know, just beach scenes with their music, which was pretty cool back then. Of course, the classic of them all, which I'm sure you've seen numerous times, A Hard Day's Night.
Oh, yes.
You won't believe it because it was, you know, before your time, but they were so ridiculed before the movie came out. And then when it finally did, everybody said, they're good. It's like the Marx Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And it truly turned out to be a pretty darn good film for a bunch of rock and roll guys that had absolutely had no experience. And, of course, having a number one soundtrack didn't hurt anything either.
Oh, yeah. And didn't that inspire the Monkees later on in the States?
Well,
the movie Head.
Yeah. It did. I'm not so sure it inspired the Monkees so much, though. The Birds, you know, David Crosby was talking about how when they first saw Hard Day's Night in the theater, that they walked out of the theater and were dancing around the light pole saying to themselves, that's what we want to do, which they did quite successfully. Mm-hmm. And every artist we had on, Mike Rabin with the band Five Americans last week, and he said right away, he said it's the Beatles they inspired so many musicians. And what's hard to comprehend, when they were negotiating contracts, God love his soul, Brian Epstein was not a very good business manager, because they had gone into this meeting with a T-shirt manufacturer that wanted to come out with all these Beatles shirts, anticipating that the Beatles would probably want 60% of whatever was sold. And in the meeting, Brian Epstein, to quote him, he says, "We will not settle for less than 15%.
Oh, my goodness.
So these T-shirt guys are looking at one another going, oh, well, we don't have a problem with that at all. So just think they would have been, of course, the ones that are still alive, Paul and Ringo, they would have been mega millionaires. And of course the estate of George Harrison, I'm sure, is out skyrocketed. I mean, it's got to be incredible. But so what have you got coming up, Lori? What's in your plan? New CD?
Well, I've just released Sanctuary of Sound, and now I have to make some videos to go with it. The next video coming out will be Run to the Sun, and that actually has footage of the guitarist Vinnie Zumo playing guitar for the song. So I have to get that all put together and take off the musician hat and put on the video maker hat and get that done.
Do you enjoy that?
Pardon? The video?
Do you enjoy doing that?
The
video part?
Well, not as much as doing writing songs and recording songs. That's the main thing I like to do, but I know that people enjoy seeing videos, and a lot of them are more likely to go to YouTube before anywhere else. and do searches. So it'd just be smart if I had some videos to go with my songs.
What's the process involved when you produce videos?
Well, I do it all myself. I come up with a sort of a storyline in my head of what I think the video would be about and how does this apply to the song. And then I start to look for clips, and I go to the places where it's public domain. So you'll end up seeing a lot of really old footage,
mm-hmm.
Black and white stuff on my videos, and I try to intersperse that sometimes with just pictures, and occasionally I will have myself in front of my green screen here lip syncing to the song, and then I fit it in there and get it all put together.
Well,
and it's picky work.
Well, it's very tedious, and plus you're doing it the way that it used to be done, because now
mm-hmm.
there's so much computer put into these videos. Well, when they show videos, I should take that back. I mean, MTV no longer produced. It wasn't like it started, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Playing videos, now they have their own silly shows on. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, well, I was just going to say, there was a video I did with my last album, A Go-Go Girl in the Modern World, and it was
mm-hmm.
about, the song was called Ride on the Train, and the song was basically about my commute to work. And what I did is I actually got the front seat of the train, and through the big window, I had my camera, and I videoed the whole journey back, and then I had it playing in fast motion
mm-hmm.
while I had myself on the sideline singing the song. And so people get to see what I see when I go to work. And the train it's an elevated train, so there's a lot of scenery in it. So
mm-hmm.
it's not like it's underground or anything. So that was kind of an interesting video.
And excuse me, you live in Vancouver, is that correct?
I actually live out in a rural area, out in the suburbs.
Okay.
So I work in Vancouver downtown mm-hmm. every day, but I spend, close to 3 hours commuting a day. So that's a lot of time, too. My mind wanders, and that's when songs come to me most of the time.
I'll bet. Vancouver's a beautiful city, isn't it?
Oh, yes, especially when the sun shines.
And if I can remember right from our previous conversation, you're quite the naturalist. I mean, birds and so forth.
Oh yeah, I appreciate birds. That's my favorite place to go. Is there's a bird sanctuary out by there's in the estuary part of the Fraser River where it meets the ocean,
mm-hmm.
and so I like to go and walk through there and look at the birds, and the ducks follow me around. And last time I was there, I saw the sandhill cranes.
Yeah,
they were. They had made a stop there, so there were several of them walking around, and those things are tall. They're like at least 4 feet tall.
Yes, they are.
Beautiful animals. And I also saw a little saw-wet owl sleeping in a tree, which was so cute. So I took pictures and put them up on my page on Facebook.
They should be in the videos, too.
Oh, well, I could, you know. It's bird sanctuary, and they do make sounds that I like.
And the song with the monkeys. Now,
mm-hmm.
let me offer a monkey that would make great B-roll video for that.
Oh.
Because we have a 4-year-old olive baboon, which
mm-hmm.
is an entertainment mecca.
Oh.
It's a two-legged party all the time.
Oh,
so
wow.
if you decide to do a video for that particular song, one of my favorites in the album, I offer up the services of this olive baboon.
I wish I would have known, because I already have a video for Monkey Business. And it
you
has,
do?
Yeah, it's all jungle stuff and animals running through it and chimpanzees then also in there I have, in between all the animals, I have a clip I found on the public domain site, archive.org,
mm-hmm.
of a Carol Burnett and Jack Benny doing Tarzan. And it's hilarious. So I have that funny stuff in amongst all the little monkey clips of monkeys doing things. And, yeah, it's up on YouTube now.
Well, we'll have to check that out. Were you aware of that, Dr. Day?
No, I wasn't. It's a must-see.
Yeah, it absolutely is. We're talking to Lori Biagini. She's got a fantastic new CD out, Symphony of Sound. And here's a little bit more from that right here on Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. Truck. Do you remember the first time you heard one of your songs on the radio?
Yes. What? I think I must. Well, it was Away on a Cloud. It was the first song that I had written.
Mm-hmm.
And that was back in 2006.
Wow.
In November 2006. And when I heard it on the radio, well, it was over streaming internet radio, but still, the radio,
mm-hmm.
I just.
That's right.
I must. Levitated, you know. I was just, I can't believe I'm on the radio. And I was just so excited, and I don't think I got any sleep that night. It was great.
Yes, and that's the usual response we've gotten from anyone I've ever asked that question to, from Dave Davies of the Kinks to Al Jardine or whoever. I mean, they just, I think Dave said he had to pull his car over. What would Dave had said, Dr. Day?
Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe I'm on the radio.
That's a great feeling.
That's pretty much what he said. That pretty much puts it in a nutshell. But a fantastic new CD. We want to make sure everybody has a chance to hear a lot of this, because we want to sell a few CDs for Lori tonight, and because I'm thinking this is going to be a big deal. From Sanctuary of Sound, Lori Biagini on Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio.
We know it, yeah, we know it. Illusion is the name of the game.
into the baboon's room, and she is totally she is totally into this tonight. This is the
Oh, wow, that's nice to know the baboons like it.
Oh,
my cats like it.
Yeah, she definitely does. It's an amazing album. And now you don't have an opportunity to tour too much because you're more of a studio artist.
That's right. I have a full-time job which actually pays the bills, and this is my stress relief is writing music. It feels good. It balances out my work life, and you know, if it goes anywhere, then hey, that's wonderful. But otherwise, I'm really happy with where I am right now. I have a lot of followers and radio and reviews and just happiness every time I finish a song. You know, it's just a good feeling of accomplishment.
Well, I have to tell everyone, if you're friends with Lori Biagini on Facebook, that she will give you a constant update on what she's got going on as far as writing music and songs that she's producing. It's pretty cool. I mean, I always enjoy seeing your post, and when you announced that you had this new album coming out, and we're in our second season, I thought we have to have her back on as a guest because the last time it just went so super, and we thoroughly enjoyed the songs. I mean, they're just great. I mean, they sound like they were produced and put together in the 60s, which I mean as an ultimate compliment from artists like Petula Clark and, as I mentioned earlier, Leslie Gore, Jackie DeShannon. I know I'm forgetting several. They'll come to me later. Lulu. And all these fantastic artists, you are really bringing them to the forefront with the influences of your music and the fantastic musicianship. You're quite the piano player.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, because it sticks right out. They used to say more cowbell. I always said more piano.
Oh. Well, when I play my one gig a year at the International Pop Overthrow, it's me and my piano, so you get to hear a lot of piano.
Well, that's okay. I can remember one of the first albums Elton John came out with. It was just himself, a bass player, and a drummer, and that was it. And it was done in the studio, and it's still, to me, one of the most amazing albums because it's kind of all in the forefront. And the production was absolutely amazing, just like the production you've done. The layers of music just work so well together. And as I mentioned earlier, we hear them all, Jan and Dean, the Beach Boys. It's just a great piece of work, and we've just been thoroughly thrilled to have you on the show tonight because it's just been great.
Well, thank you so much. It's been really fun to be on this show with you and talking about this. It's great.
Here's another track from Lori Biagini right here on Blog Talk Radio.
That's Vinnie Zumo, and is doing his magic on the guitar there.
Oh, my Lord. The licks, I thought I was listening to Carl Wilson. That's phenomenal.
Thank you.
I hope he considers that a compliment, because I totally meant it that way, because that's just great. How many people do you get involved on your recordings?
Well, it depends. I usually have like one guitar player, and he's from Rome, Italy. That's Fabrizio Sorecchia. But this time around, Vinny approached me, and he said, I really want to play on one of your songs. And so I thought, he's an excellent guitar player. What could I really write to take advantage of this? And so I thought, surf. I'm going to go total surf. And then actually the song was written on December 30th, 2012, and it was snowing here, freezing cold in the studio. And I write a song, you know.
Yeah.
So it depends. It's mostly just me, but then I've, of course, my mastering engineer. He makes everything sparkle. So that's
he does.
Laurie, do you do all the background voices too?
That's all me. I do the harmony. I hear the harmonies in my head, and I just do one track at a time. My ear knows when it's right.
That's incredible.
Yes, it is. I did not realize that. I guess I should have read more extensively. That's just amazing, Laurie. What you've put together with your own creative abilities and musicianship, it's just amazing. What a show tonight, Dr. Day.
I know. I was surfing with Frankie and Annette there a few minutes ago.
I was too.
Awesome.
So was the baboon. The baboon's bouncing right now, just to give everyone an update.
Wonderful.
That is wonderful. And, yes, what a phenomenal album. Laurie, we really appreciate you. Now, I know if this takes off, and I've always said this to our young artists, that when this takes off to the hemisphere, we still would like to have you on the show again, if you could possibly
find
the time.
Oh, always. I'd love to be on the show again.
They always say that, don't they, Dr. Day?
Well, her CD, A Far Out Place, the last song is I'll Be Back Again. She didn't lie to us.
No, she did not.
Right.
She absolutely did not. We want to tell everyone, next week from Hollywood, from SRI Records producer, now film producer for the new Snoop Dogg movie, The Life of Fillmore Slim, our good friend Dr. Day, Shelley Leibowitz will be with us.
All right.
We'll hear lots of stories about the Rat Pack and Marilyn Monroe.
Shelley is always so entertaining.
Oh, and Count Basie and being on tour with the Rolling Stones, all sorts of great stuff, and how this movie's coming along with Snoop Dogg. And in his own words, he says, I can't understand a word he's saying. But it should be phenomenal. Laurie, thanks again for being our guest tonight. It was an absolute pleasure.
And thank you for having me on the show. It was wonderful to be here and talk to the listeners and you guys about what's going on with the music, and had a great time.
We're going to close out with one more song from Laurie Biagini, right from her new CD, Sanctuary of Sound. You've been listening to Larry Bathin's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening this week to Larry Batson's Wild World. Be sure to join us again next week at 10 p.m. for more of the latest outdoor and wildlife news and information, along with great tales from your host, world-renowned wildlife expert, Mr. Larry Batson. Tune in again next week for another exciting edition of Larry Batson's Wild World. Larry Batson's Wild World is a Batson Wildlife Educational Services production in association with Blog Talk Radio.